things of my time here, having this wonderful man help me up the steps. Well, good morning, everyone. On this Memorial Day weekend. I didn't wear red. I'm saving it for tomorrow, but I see we have a lot of red out here. So, and the choir just blew me away. I'll tell you, that was absolutely wonderful. Felt really good, really good. Made me happy, which is what we're going to talk about today. Happiness. Now, I knew I was going to be talking about happiness because, you see, I have to have my title in long before I'm here. But this past week, I was inspired to make some changes in what I had originally planned to say. I was inspired once again by the car radio. Those of you who were here the last time know that listening to Michael Jackson on the radio was food for what I spoke about last month. So listening to programs about Memorial Day, about the meaning of Memorial Day, paying honor and tribute to those who have given the ultimate price, which is why we are remembering and celebrating on this Memorial Day. And one of the things that was stated over and over were the words from the Declaration of Independence, which also were used during the Gettysburg Address by Abraham Lincoln. Now, so I get these words absolutely correct, I'm going to read them. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is the unalienable right of all, and it was given by the Creator, and which governments are created to protect. I never remember hearing that part before about given by the Creator. And those rights are, let's have a test. What are those rights? Three unalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. So what is happiness anyway? Well, it can be different things to different people, but this morning we're not talking about the ha-ha, feel-good, yippee happiness, although that's really wonderful. But it's temporary, isn't it? The happiness that comes to us through relationships, through even careers, through all the things out here are wonderful, but they're temporary. But the type of happiness we're talking about is the happiness that comes from within. It's the happiness that comes by remembering who we are, and the happiness by knowing that we will have a happy life based on the choices that we make, the decisions that we make. So knowing who we are, I mean, I would think knowing that we are an expression of God right here, right now, the voice and ears, the hands and feet and love and compassion of God in the world, God, would that not make us all happy? What an honor that is, that we're not just here randomly, but we're here for a purpose to be God in this world. That is deep-seated, secure happiness. And then knowing that this type of happiness is permanent, that it grows, that it's cumulative. The philosopher Aristotle, and I will quote him, said that happiness is the meaning and the purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. And then he goes on to say that happiness is not about elevated moods or those ha-ha experiences, but rather it's cumulative of a life that is well lived, that decisions and choices that are made in life that bring us happiness and that they build on one another. That is happiness. So how do we pursue this happiness? How do we get this happiness? Well, there's a lot of ways, but four ways that we'll talk about this morning is expectation, letting go, releasing, gratitude, and empathy and compassion. So that first one, expectancy. Anyone remember, if you've been in Unity for a long time, where expect a miracle, we all had those stickers sometimes on our cars and my bathroom mirror and everywhere you could see it, expect a miracle, opening that place up of faith and hope and expectancy in our life. Well, a few years ago, when I was having my nails done, and I learn almost as much at the nail shop as I do on the car radio, so always keep those ears open. The lady who was doing my nails said, "Oh, I am so excited that it's the year of the dragon beginning. My life is finally going to be happy." Wow. I said, "Tell me more." Well, she said, "Well, this is my sign, my time. This is the year. Everything's going to open up for me. I'm going to meet the love of my life. I'm going to get out of this nail shop and start doing something I like." On and on and on. Well, I have thought of her so often over the years. What happened to her? What kind of a year was it? What kind of a year do you think she probably had? A great year. I'm sure she did, an absolute great year, because of the expectancy that she had. And even if all of the things that she had hoped to come into her life didn't, the happiness of living in the expectancy, living in the hope and the joy of seeing that come into our lives, that's happiness right there. The expectancy. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, wrote these words: "In every person is that which carries him always, him or her, Charles, to hope for and to expect that which is good and true. This very expectation helps the good to become active." So it's activating that. It's like having an Alka-Seltzer, if they still sell those, in a glass, and it just sits there until you pour water on it and activate it, and then it fizzes, it becomes active. So, the expectation. There was a sign outside of a church a couple of years ago that read, "Life doesn't have to be perfect to be wonderful." So I say, life doesn't have to be perfect for us to be happy. And I think sometimes we miss out on happiness because we think everything has to be perfect, just dot, 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 before we can say I'm happy. So expectation. And then letting go, releasing, forgiveness. Christopher Peterson, who was a professor at the University of Michigan, he has since made his transition. He was famous for his positive psychology. And he said that forgiveness is the queen of virtues, and it is the most difficult to live. Certainly, Jesus understood the importance of forgiveness. He talked about it often enough. And in some of those instances that he talked about it, was when Peter came to him and said, "If my brother sins against me, should I forgive him 7 times? And Jesus replied, no, but 70 times 7, which isn't 490, but it's an unlimited amount of forgiving until we finally forgiven. The importance. And even on the cross when he was being crucified, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we forgive to open ourselves up to be that clear vessel through God, through which God does work. Forgiveness, forgive, means to give something up for something, to give up anger and hatred and to replace it with love, to give up war and replace it with peace, to give up bigotry and prejudice and replace it with the truth we know that we look at everyone as divine, everyone as expressing the Christ that they are. Forgiveness. I believe it's impossible to be happy unless we are forgiving. And then there's gratitude. Not just at Thanksgiving, but gratitude every day. I read once in Unity literature, but the source just eludes me, that for every 1 page of journaling on gratitude, that there can be as much as a 6-month mood elevation. That by bringing that to mind, by writing it down, by seeing it with our eyes and affirming it, that it can plant that seed of gratitude that can help elevate our mood for 6 months. I'm going to start writing those pages. Wow. Gratitude. A few years ago, I had the great honor to meet a man who was waiting for a transplant, actually at Barnes Hospital. He had moved here from another state, and he had an apartment not far from where my husband and I lived. So we met him at a Unity church, and of course he was positive, because we are positive, right? And he told us his story, that he was waiting for a lung and heart transplant. So he had to be here, ready to go, at a moment's notice, with his bags packed. Well, every man and woman who met him just loved him, because he was so upbeat, so grateful for what he had. So over the weeks, he started writing on poster cards, because he knew that after the surgery, he probably wouldn't be able to speak for a while. So he had a card that said, I'm hungry. Another card that said, give me a kiss. I mean, he had cards for everything. Well, sadly, he made his transition. And when we were all in his apartment, cleaning out, getting ready to ship things back to Florida, where he was from, we saw a big poster board in the back of the dresser, and we pulled it out, and it read, thank you, God, for everything, and he had underlined and bolded everything. That just impressed me and inspired me so much, because I realized that even though what he had expected, had faith in, had hoped for, didn't come to pass, it didn't deplete his happiness, because he was so grateful. He lived in that space of gratitude, which makes us happy. Thank you, God, for everything. And then I believe another way that we pursue happiness is by living a life of empathy and compassion. Which brings me to the second story that I heard on the radio this week. And it was the story of the history of Memorial Day. Now, I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember that Memorial Day used to be called Decoration Day. Anyone remember that? Okay, I do. And it got that name because it was decorating the graves on Memorial Day. And the beginning of that started in New Orleans with two women. Two women who had gone to the cemetery to decorate the graves of their loved ones who were Confederate soldiers. This was after the Civil War. And while they were there decorating the graves of their loved ones, they looked around and realized, of course, there were Union soldiers there too. And their graves were barren, totally. So out of the compassion in their heart, they decided every grave should be decorated. So that day they went over and they decorated a couple of the Union soldiers' graves and threw flowers here and there to cover them. And then they came back and they decorated every single grave, Confederate soldier, Union soldier. Now, I haven't had a conversation with either one of those women, but I know that that brought them such happiness and contentment because they had so freely given. They were compassionate. They were empathetic, knowing that the Union soldiers were far away from family. And as one of the women said, I would hope that if my loved one was somewhere and I couldn't get to their grave, that there would be someone who was compassionate enough to take care of that for me. So that was the beginning of what we now call Memorial Day. The pursuit of happiness. Why so many have given so much that we can all be here today in pursuit of happiness, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so indeed we do honor them and pay homage to them. So if we look at our life, and it's not as happy as perhaps we would like, maybe not to look at happiness as coming from out here, from other people, our things, our circumstances, but rather look to the truth of who we are. Divine, expressing God. That should really make us happy. And then to live in a life of expectancy. You know, we can call that hope or faith, whatever name we put on it. But it's opening the space, getting the soil ready for what is to come. Giving thanks in advance. And then to be grateful for what we have had, for what we have, and for what we will have. To maybe even try writing that one-page gratitude journal and see if our life does change and that our mood is elevated for months to come. To find all the things that we can give thanks for. Our eyesight, our hearing, the fact that we're sitting or standing, that we can comprehend what is being said to us. I work for a group of people who don't have that always any longer. So I'm very aware how grateful to have those. And then to live a life of compassion. Knowing just as we are, each and every one of us, the Christ, divine, that so is everyone else, that everyone we encounter, even the family members sitting across the kitchen table that we may disagree with, to be able to reach across that table and have a discussion. Certainly right now in our country, the division between political parties, to find a way to stand in our own integrity, but at the same time, to be able to reach across the political aisle and find something that we can hang our hat on, something that we can agree on. If it's nothing more than I behold the Christ in you, which is pretty big. Happiness, the pursuit of happiness, something that came as a gift to us for a very high price paid for so many. And so now, we're going to affirm together our beautiful affirmation that is said at Unity Churches every Sunday, or every Wednesday, or every time we meet all over the world. And bottom line, it's about affirming happiness, because it's affirming the presence and the power of God. So you'll find this affirmation in your program for those of you who are new. And I invite us to affirm this together, these beautiful words of truth. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life, God the good, omnipotent. Thank you, God.